Justice Department scrubs Intel hacking statement within 48 hours, raising questions about initial claims. The U.S. Justice Department quietly rewrote a federal cybersecurity announcement 2 days after publication, downgrading the Senate, the Federal Reserve, NASA, and at least 6 other federal institutions from confirmed breach victims to mere targets, a correction that reveals a systemic gap between how governments communicate cyber intrusions and what investigators have actually signed off on. The original press release, published on August 26, 2026, alongside a set of domain seizures targeting the Chinese state-sponsored group QTFY, named the Senate, the Federal Reserve, NASA, the Department of Energy, the Justice Department itself, Health and Human Services, the National Institutes of Health, defense contractors, financial institutions, and universities as victims of the campaign. 2 days later, the word victims disappeared. The department added a line stating that edits had been made to ensure the release accurately reflected the government's allegations in the affidavit supporting the domain seizures. In plain terms, the affidavit had never claimed what the press release claimed. The distinction between a target and a confirmed breach is not semantic. A federal agency receives targeting attempts from state-sponsored actors as a matter of routine operational life. A confirmed intrusion is a discrete event with data exposure, dwell time, and forensic consequences for every person whose record sat behind the breach door. The episode matters beyond the Department of Justice's internal editorial process because the original language circulated widely before the correction appeared, and the amended version will not reach most readers who encountered the first. Headlines stating that the Federal Reserve and NASA had been hacked are now permanent features of the information environment, regardless of what the affidavit actually says. QTFY's confirmed intrusions. What the affidavit actually supports strip away the overstated press release, and the underlying case remains substantial. QTFY has operated against U.S. targets since at least 2018. The affidavit does describe confirmed intrusions, just a narrower set than the original announcement implied. Investigators place confirmed breaches at Department of Energy National Laboratories, the National Institutes of Health, and Health and Human Services in September 2024. Successful data thefts from unnamed entities occurred in May 2024. More recent intrusion attempts, specifically access efforts dated to March 2026, were unsuccessful. That timeline carries analytical weight. The gap between the confirmed 2024 breaches and the failed 2026 attempts suggests either improved defensive posture on the target side, a shift in QTFY's operational priorities, or both. The domain seizures executed by the FBI, the National Security Agency, U.S. Cyber Command, the Justice Department, and CISA represent the standard visible remedy in these cases. Infrastructure removal without requiring the arrest of suspects who sit beyond the reach of an American court. The confirmed intrusion timeline. Department of Energy National Laboratories, NIH, and Health and Human Services breached in September 2024. Data thefts from unnamed entities in May 2024. Access attempts in March 2026 failed. Source: Department of Justice affidavit as reported by The Next Web. For institutional security teams pricing cyber risk, the affidavit specifics carry more operational value than the headline count of named agencies. QTFY's target selection, method, and timeline are the transferable intelligence. The same group's techniques do not terminate at a national border. A-assisted analysis as the new battlefield. The guardbreaker escalation, the Department of Justice's QTFY disclosure lands in the same week that ESET researchers documented a technique called guardbreaker, developed by the Russia-line threat actor UAC-99 and deployed against a target in Ukraine. The technique inserts a nuclear weapon construction prompt as a comment inside a malicious VBS script, deliberately triggering large language model safety mechanisms to prevent AI-assisted code analysis. UAC-99 used GuardBreaker to deliver MATCHBOIL, a C hash-based loader the group uses exclusively to deploy additional payloads. The Computer Emergency Response Team of Ukraine had warned in late July 2026 that the group was distributing MATCHBOIL disguised as a Notepad++ plugin. This is not an isolated tactic. In June 2026, a cluster of Python packages associated with the mini Shai-Hulud, Miasma, and Hades supply chain attack campaigns embedded adversarial prompts referencing biological and nuclear weapons to force AI security scanners into refusal states. Security firm Socket described the mechanism. In weak pipelines, the technique causes refusal behavior, prompt confusion, context pollution, or premature classification before the scanner reaches the actual malicious payload. Two alleged members of the group behind earlier waves, Reuben Ian Thompson, age 21, and Louis Michael Giebler, age 23, both of Western Australia, have been arrested for involvement in the supply chain attack campaign. Attribution for activity after May 12, 2026 remains unclear following the public leak of the Shai-Hulud worm source code, which allowed additional threat actors to adopt the same anti-AI technique. For institutional investors with exposure to enterprise security software, the implication is direct. AI-native detection pipelines now carry a documented attack surface. Every security vendor marketing LLM-based triage capabilities needs to demonstrate adversarial prompt isolation, not just detection accuracy against traditional signatures. The Nexus identity breach, 153 million driver's licenses, and the scale problem on August 31, 2026, a new identity theft service called Nexus appeared on the Russian Cybercrime Forum exploit, offering digital scans of more than 153 million driver's licenses from the United States and Canada. The service also lists more than 10 million identification cards, more than 3 million travel documents and international IDs, and at least 579,000 medical cards. Crebson Security reported that running a blank search on the platform returns approximately 11.5 million pages of results at roughly 15 results per page. Canadian records account for approximately 1.1 million of the total, with the largest concentration from Ontario at 473,673 records. The bulk of the 153 million plus records are on Americans. The operators of Nexus claim the images originate from an active breach at a major identity verification company, whose customers include multiple Fortune 500 companies. They state they have been continuously exfiltrating new data for over a year. The record count increased by nearly 400,000 in a single 24-hour window observed by Crebson Security, suggesting active ongoing exfiltration rather than a one-time dump. The FBI's New Orleans field office launched an official inquiry on September 1, 2026, based on evidence suggesting the source is a widely used identity verification company based in Louisiana. Among the records available on the service is the driver's license of U.S. Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth. Terms of the breach's commercial impact and the identity of the Louisiana-based company were not disclosed in the source material. At 153 million records, Nexus would represent one of the largest identity document breaches on record. The U.S. adult population is approximately 260 million. The implied coverage rate exceeds 50% of American adults if the record count is accurate. Source: Crebson Security. The convergence trade. Three events, one structural signal. The Placamium view these three events: the Department of Justice's retraction, the GuardBreaker anti-AI technique, and the Nexus identity breach are not coincidental noise. They describe a single structural deterioration in the reliability of public cyber intelligence, the integrity of AI-assisted security tooling, and the downstream data assets that identity-dependent businesses treat as bedrock. For institutional capital, the investment thesis is not simply buy cybersecurity. That trade is crowded and the category is heterogeneous. The refined thesis is this: the next valuation compression event in identity verification and AI-native security will be triggered not by a product failure, but by a trust failure. And the Department of Justice's retraction is the first public data point in that sequence. The Department of Justice explicitly admitted that its press release overstated what its own affidavit supported. The same dynamic is playing out at scale in enterprise security software, where AI-assisted triage tools are being gamed by adversaries who understand the safety mechanisms better than many buyers do. The identity verification sector is discovering that years of aggregated document scanning creates a liability balance sheet that no insurance product currently prices correctly, as the Nexus breach illustrates. The U.S. government's recent decision to permit private companies to run offensive cyber operations abroad adds another dimension. Attribution is becoming contested, precision about confirmed breaches is degrading, and the legal architecture around offensive cyber is expanding simultaneously. That combination narrows the space between state and commercial cyber activity in ways that compliance teams at financial institutions and defense contractors have not yet priced into their third-party risk frameworks. The second-order play, short-dated volatility on identity verification platform valuations, is mispriced relative to the liability exposure now surfacing. Long positions in firms with verifiable adversarial robustness testing for AI security pipelines and established forensic breach confirmation protocols rather than press release-driven disclosure are where the risk-adjusted return sits heading into Q for 2026. The QTFY campaign's March 2026 access failures suggest that some defensive postures are improving. The direction of travel on offensive technique, specifically AI evasion, is the opposite. Guardbreaker is documented. The supply chain anti-AI campaigns from June 2026 are documented. The gap between attack sophistication and institutional buyer awareness of that sophistication is where capital should be focused. The bottom line, the Department of Justice's correction is a disclosure event, not just an editorial one. When the most conservative drafters of federal cyber announcements overstate a breach and then retract it, the market for cyber intelligence credibility contracts. That matters for every institutional buyer of threat intelligence, every compliance officer certifying third-party risk assessments, and every private equity sponsor sitting on an identity verification or AI security platform asset. QTFY continues to operate. Guardbreaker anti-AI technique is live and documented. Nexus is adding 400,000 stolen identity records per day. The infrastructure seizures the Department of Justice executed stand, but the headline about who was actually breached has changed, and the second headline, the one explaining the change, reached a fraction of the audience. Precision about intrusion confirmation is the only durable asset in this space. Firms that can demonstrate it will attract premium multiples. Firms that cannot will face the same question the Department of Justice faced on August 28. What did you actually sign off on?